Hello, my name's Kenneth Branagh, and you are listening to The Extraordinary Filmworks Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Thursday, December the 19th, 2019. This is episode number 590 of the podcast. As I record this, the House is preparing to vote for impeachment of the President of the United States. This is, of course, a film industry podcast. This is not a political podcast. I listen to The Majority Report. I listen to The Young Turks. I listen to David Pakman. I listen to a number of other political shows, both online as well as on the podcasts. And it occupies quite a bit of my time. But on this show, that's not the case. It's not the case. I keep the show non-political. I wouldn't want that to leak into the show, no matter what my feelings are about this particular president and impeachment. So, this is episode 590. We have on a spectacular guest. Now, if you've been listening to my show for a while through the spring and into the summer, I have been following one of my favorite independent films of 2019. It's called South Mountain. It's directed by a filmmaker named Hilary Brocker, who has been on the show a couple of times. And I mentioned that one day over the early summer, midsummer, something like that, I was walking down the street. I was in the, let's just say, Union Square area. And I see it walking toward me, none other than the main actor from this particular film. Again, it's called South Mountain. And her name is Talia Balsam. I stop her and I say, oh, you know, I really enjoyed this film and I'm behind it. And I've had on Hilary on the show a couple of times and I'm just thrilled to meet you. And I was hoping that you might consider coming onto the podcast. And she said, sure, of course. And now she is, you know, she's a big-time actor. She's been on one of the biggest, most successful series ever. It's called Mad Men, where she played Mona, of course, where she was the put-upon and unappreciative wife of John Slattery's character. Of course, they're married in real life, of course, you know that. And by the way, she was previously married to George Clooney, but we don't discuss that on the show. I just didn't think that was appropriate. Of course, now I'm saying it now, but I say with due respect, you know, you should have the full picture of this woman's life. We're big fans of John Slattery. I like John Slattery. I like him a lot. I think he's actually so much more interesting than the other guy. But okay, I'm getting off track. Talia is also on the series Divorce with Jessica Sarah Parker. She's in a couple of upcoming films. She was in a recent film called Little Men, which my friend Ira Sachs directed. And she's been in countless other TV shows and series and films. Countless. But she started way back where she was a very young woman. Now, she is the product of two professional actors, Martin Balsam and Joyce Van Patten. And, you know, I typically do my due diligence. As you know, if you listen to the show, you know that I'm usually very, very prepared. But in this case, I was just so focused on her more recent work in Mad Men and in the film South Mountain that I just didn't really bother preparing a lot. And I apologize because it came as a surprise. But I was enjoying learning all this stuff. I was enjoying learning that she was in Happy Days where she played, I think, Richie's girlfriend way back in 1977. We'll talk about that. And then she was also in Taxi. She was on the first episode, the pilot of Taxi. She played Judd Hirsch's daughter in a most memorable, very moving episode. And I'm going to say countless TV shows and films. So we sat down in the studio. I want to thank my producer, Paul Brill. What a fabulous show he put together for me. We had this conversation you're about to hear right now. And I can just tell you, we had such a great time. I hope that Talia will come back on. So I don't know if she even has a choice in the matter. And maybe we can get her on with her husband. Maybe that'll happen. Whether or not her husband comes on the show next time or not, who cares? Who cares? Okay? I want Talia back on because she was such a great guest and she was having such a good time. And I think it comes through. Here it is now. Right now, we're going to keep you abreast, by the way, about South Mountain and a couple of other projects like The Climb, which we talked about, and a few other films. We'll keep you abreast of all that stuff. But right now, let's get into the conversation with the actor, Talia Balsam, here, only on this podcast. You can search all the other podcasts, you won't find it. But here on Film Wax Radio, you will. My conversation with Talia Balsam.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm going to get more comfortable.
Oh, okay. Please. As comfortable as you can
there
possibly
we are.
Get.
Yeah. We're good.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for coming out to Brooklyn.
This lovely studio.
Yeah. Right? Isn't this as nice as you could have imagined?
Better than I could ever have imagined. I did not expect.
For you to schlep all the way out here, I wasn't going to just have you come to some crummy spot. You
know? Wasn't that much of a schlep, but I always like to investigate different streets. And
you're downtown?
I am. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
right. That makes sense. I met you, or I ran into you almost literally. Let's put it this way. I put myself in front of your you near Union Square. Let's keep it that.
Okay. Yes. I think that's general enough.
And in retrospect, it's not so surprising because I actually did see your husband in the same exact spot. At some point, not that long before that.
So, that would make sense.
Yeah. So you both do whatever you're extra
We do whatever we were doing over
is
in that
yoga?
Spot.
Is it yoga? What is it?
Some kind of, extremely difficult Pilates / I was just saying before he surfs and...
Right.
excuse me. And so, but that moves around too. This person moves around. I move with her.
I see. Well, it makes sense even surfing... If you're standing on the board, assuming you're standing, would a strong core really makes, a lot of sense, right? To have a strong core because you're holding, you're doing the balance and the
hanging
to direct.
Hanging 10. So yeah. I don't do hanging it, but I paddleboard.
Oh,
no,
oh,
I try to
attempt it.
No,
what a great sensation it is. You can lay on the front on the board. I that's the way I did it.
You just laid on the front of somebody else's board?
Not somebody else's. I think we rented when I did it, I had a board and I lay on it because I couldn't. I tried standing up. I kept losing my balance. So I just wanted to have the sensation. And it was like one of those things where you almost feel like you're in a Scorsese movie where, you're going forward and the world is rushing towards you at the same time or something like that. It's a great sensation. I can see why it's addictive.
People. I mean, I think he's very good at it. I was not. So I just did the more genteel paddle boarding on smooth water. That's more my speed.
Your speed.
Yeah. Definitely. Still needs core though. So.
Well, it was kind of a serendipitous, Talia, that I ran into you because you had been on my mind for a while because one of the films that has stuck with me is this movie South Mountain. Mm-hmm. Every year I'm hoping for just a handful of films that just, they take you on some sort of emotional narrative journey somewhere that you can't, you just can sit and watch and be transported somewhere, Mm-hmm. And that was one of those films this year. And I was so grateful that I got to see it. And
that's so nice to hear.
Yeah.
Because.
You know what I mean, right?
Yeah, I do. And I think she. And Ethan, her husband, who's the cinematographer, did a great job of just staying in a place and slowing it down. They just laid it out in a really, I think, interesting way.
Yeah. It's in a tradition of
what would you call these types of films where everybody's in a house, although it does take place over a period of time, of course.
It does, but when out,
it's centered in the house.
It was sort of almost like doing a play.
And, oh.
You know, it was written in three acts, mm-hmm. and we, for the most part, shot in order. Uh-huh. And we shot according to the light. They knew the house. It was her mother's house, and they knew the room so well. So everything was geared towards that because very minimal. We didn't have a light set, really, mm-hmm. And a very small crew. And so it was very well thought out and laid out. And so in a lot of ways, just having this one location, and then, you know, there was some exteriors, definitely. That's a big part of the movie, but it kind of just laid out in that room and how tight it was and how close everything was there.
Mm. Is there a scene you're not in this film?
You were, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, how often does...
Not a lot. Maybe the beginning. I'm not in the girls because, you know.
Okay, so it's about a family, I suppose you could say, in this house in the mountains or upstate New York.
Correct. Right.
And your relationship with your husband, it's been a few months since I've seen it now, so please correct me and I can fix some of these things and I don't mind making mistakes.
Okay.
But I obviously there was an off and on again situation. It's a challenging relationship because he has had other relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And when the film starts, you are in a phase of trying to stay together and you put the relationship back together. Let's put it that way. Is that correct?
I think she learns something on, which isn't necessarily new, but I think, you know, because the movie does start out with this birth.
Right. And it's interesting because it's the beginning of the film and those are usually spoilers, but you'd also, it's such a spectacular start to a film that you don't want to also give it too much away because it's just so, incredible.
And it's also irreversible.
Yes.
So, and I think that was really smart also of Hillary, because I think you're right. I think most people would say, don't put that there. Don't, you know.
Right.
But, and you're right. Shouldn't really give that away because it is, maybe we should. But that is part of the story, which is there's a point one reaches where you can't actually go back from that. There's new life being.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one could say that the husband is involved in a relationship.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like he's had an on and off again relationship that it seems that they sorted out. I mean, the beginning of their relationship was her best friend was married to him. And then she sort of took over the role of the mother of his kids and then had their kids. It's a very mixed family. And I think that's...
Blended.
I'm sorry. Blended family. And so while it seems complicated to sit here and, you know, say what each relationship is, it just is. I mean, there's just doesn't really matter at some point whose kid is who. You know?
Yeah.
We're all together.
Right.
Yeah. In this little house.
It's all managing relationships in this film. And
exactly.
They could be your own kids or some, you know, it's almost, you see that in this film. Like relationships are complicated, whether they're your own children or they're stepchildren. We were talking about that a little bit in the kitchen before.
Yeah.
Yeah. But another thing I like about the film, about South Mountain, which frustratingly, I can't tell people exactly yet where to go see it, but that I have a sense that soon it will be the case where we can tell people. Everybody's flawed, you know? What's her name again?
Lila.
Part of why she's just so believable and so real a character is because, you know, she actually acts like human being, like a human being.
Right, she's flawed. And she's losing, you know, things are going away.
Right.
And I don't think people are at their best, necessarily.
You're panicking.
Mm-hmm.
And... Yeah, you have a sense of your esteem or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
You know that also there's a strong person there, but somebody who's under a great amount of stress and anxiety
and
with what's going on with their family.
I think it's interesting because it is at the end of the day with all those things going on, it does sort of. I think there's some dignity to this, and I think that, you know, not to sound like, you know, but the love sort of, it's sort of like we're trying to do the best for everyone and the circumstances are really complicated.
Yeah.
And it's generous. to say the least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think people really need to see this film.
Yeah?
Because it's undeniable. There's an entertaining, you know, aspect to the film. And at the same time, people will really feel, oh, I really relate to this character or that character. Everybody's going to relate to somebody in this film. It's just because these are the way people actually really behave and things that people have to deal with these days.
That's funny. You know, I'm listening to you. You're a man. And it's interesting to hear your point of view. Hillary has also said that, you know, younger people in their 20s have really liked it because they're seeing their parents, which never struck me. You know, it didn't occur to me. Of course, there's so many different levels here of who relates to who. I think Scott plays also a very flawed character, but in such a great way that he's not demonized or, you know, so I think that everyone's really human.
Right. The film, if you look at the film as a character, this is not judging people.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Somebody asked me if I liked Lila, and I was like, well, I can't answer that, really. I mean, I did because I played her, but she didn't have to be likable necessarily. So,
yeah, sometimes she's very likable.
Mm-hmm.
Other times you just don't. Like, why are you?
Yeah, what's going on?
Why are you accepting this? Or what are you doing? Or why are you treating? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, people might have issue with that too, but that's okay.
It certainly makes me think, like, oh my goodness, Hillary, she's good. Something's going on with her. That's great. She can make these stories. And she's not prolific, you know? So when she delivers, she really...
Yeah, I mean, she's very... I don't even know what the word... She's so fluid, you know? Like, you know, she wrote this all out, and she was like, well, this could have gone in the horror genre, or this, you know? I mean, and you know why. And because that scene, you know, and you're like, oh, this looks like it sort of turns a little. And she was like, you know, midway through writing it, I don't want to speak for Hillary, but then she was like, I don't want to do that. I want to do this. Mm-hmm. And it was the same when we were shooting. I think, you know, sometimes as an actor, you're like, oh, I wanted to do, and then she's like, let's just do it the other way.
Yeah.
The opposite, which is scary. And I think she's very fluid. And then I think, you know, and she'll, you know, say this. I mean, for her, editing is really king.
Hmm. And I forget who edited. Did she?
She and Maria.
Okay.
Rosenblum. Okay. They did it over, you know, and the other, you can call this advantage or disadvantage, is that because there was not a lot of money involved, it took them a year, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So other things occur. And that's what I think Hillary has, the capacity. She didn't get stuck in anything.
When I met her the first time, I actually was invited to see a screening at Columbia of Chilly Scenes of Winter.
Really?
That's
Joan Micklin. No. Who
yes, was that? Joan Micklin Silver directed it, and Ann Beatty.
Okay.
And I they were showing it in it because they were celebrating either Joan or I'm forgetting now. Anyway, several of the cast members were there, and which is actually how I nabbed Peter Riegert for my podcast.
Okay. Yeah.
And Griffin Dunne and a few other people. And Joan, I guess, wasn't up for it, so she couldn't be there. But Hillary was there, and I got to meet her. And they had a Q&A, of course, and her daughter, who's an older teenager, or something, she asked this incredibly poised question, just really...
Violet, Hillary's daughter.
Yeah, Hillary's
who's also
actual
in the movie.
Daughter.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot that.
Yeah,
her
son and her daughter.
Oh.
Family affair.
Yeah, it really was. How did you meet her?
Hillary?
Yeah.
I met her in a coffee, I guess the movie was sort of moving full steam ahead, and I think someone fell out. And my agents had read the script and were like, you know, I was shooting Divorce at the time, or it was just ending. And so they're like, you guys should meet each other. And she was sort of didn't know me that well, and I didn't know her, but we got on, and I think by the end of the meeting was like, okay, let's do this. You know, I asked her all the appropriate questions, and then 11 days later, you know, that's not a lot of prep time. So that was a little scary for me.
Right. But also maybe like really good.
Yeah,
like,
maybe.
You know,
yeah.
Sometimes then you're not thinking too much and over preparing, and you know, yeah. And you it appears like you really threw yourself into this role, like on a. But what do I know? Maybe you just sort of phoned it in, and this is you. This is you phoning it in.
No, I think there are moments. Yeah. Where I literally was like, I'm not 100% sure what I should be doing here, and I think it actually lent itself to it.
Yeah.
You know, right. When watching it, I was like, it's unfolding in front of my eyes a little bit.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah. Is this a very different kind of role for you?
Well,
I mean, sort of, I'm thinking Mad Men, you played a kind of a wife that's...
I mean, it's different in that the, you know, it was very, what's it? The word, the breadth of it was so much. So I think in a lot of things, you kind of come in and out of a story and you can pop in. So this thing, I hadn't done that in quite a while where it was really unfolding in real time. And so the part, I don't know that it's a part I usually play, but I don't feel like it's very far off from me either. So I really enjoyed the sort of minimal, you know, like just, it was, you know, there's no makeup. I just really actually prefer that.
And you really got to show all sides of yourself.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you're
nice.
Very
good part.
Sexy in it, and you got to really. Well,
thanks. Thank you.
Well, there's this streak to Lila. Is that her name? Lila. That's kind of just this. At one time, this insecure, but on this other side of her, she has this, again, this sort of streak in her that's very, pretty cool. It's that comes up.
It's funny, like it's on paper, you know, it's like you said, on paper I read this and this character was this way and this character and then we all came together and then everything was very different. And for whatever reasons, that worked.
Well, I have a feeling this is the kind of film where I would think if I was like a producer or some cat and I saw you in this film, I'd say, oh, you know, this is a tour de force. Let's put it. It takes some, I think it could create opportunities, but not that you need the help, but still in all, it's quite, shows that you can carry a movie. I think
that's what Hillary was like. I hadn't seen you, you know, I mean, I, you know, like 25 years ago, but I was sort of, it was good for me to know that.
Yeah.
It was good for, yeah, because I think that was like, oh, you know, that's a different thing. It's a different tool. And then I think that, you know, now the next part of this distribution part is sort of the other sort of...
Sure.
Yeah, which is...
It'll get sorted out.
It'll get sorted out.
For sure.
And I do hope people see it. And I hope they get to see it in a theater. But I think that's probably, you know...
No, I think they will.
We'll see.
Mean, for, you know, you know how it goes. It'll get theaters because it's a necessary thing for other reasons.
But it's gotten some lovely reviews. So
that's great.
So nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How could it not? How long have you been acting?
Let's see.
A long time.
A long time.
You started very, very young, though.
Well, I started,
didn't you?
Yeah. So I've been acting. Wait, now, I actually have to think about this. So. How old am I?
I didn't ask that, though.
No. So I'm going to say, let me just say I started at 18.
18 years old? Where did you grow up?
40.
Did you grow up in the New York area or in New York City?
My father was an actor.
Okay.
Named Martin Balsam.
Never heard of him.
So he lived in New York and my mother.
I'm going to, hold on. So let me rephrase. Your dad's Martin Balsam, isn't he?
Yes.
I didn't
surprise,
put that together.
Surprise.
So there's more than one. I thought there were probably more than one Balsam family. But
yes. So,
you said there's part of the Balsam dynasty.
Well, I don't know about the dynasty. There's, and then my mother's the Joyce Van Patten. So she lived in California. So I was sort of.
Oh, by Balsam. Were they, and you already said they divorced.
Yeah.
And they
like
both
when I was
remarried.
Two. Yeah.
Your mom, terrific in. Kent Jones film, another great film, which is also playing, interestingly enough, in the same festival circuit year as South Mountain, which is, Kent, or maybe it was the year before.
I think
Kent,
it was the year before.
Maybe it was.
I just
saw
Kent, something on her, Mary Kay.
Right, Mary Kay Place, who is it was called,
Diane.
What was her name? Diane, thank you. I had Kent Jones on the podcast for that. So, okay. Now, I typically do my due diligence, but here it's I'm divulging that I'm
have
dumb.
Have I caught you up?
You so, caught me in a moment. Wow, right. Those are two wonderful actors.
Yeah, so
I'd say. I just read Elie Kazan's. Finally, I caught up with that. I thought I was going to have to read that when I retire because it's like 1,000 pages. His book.
I haven't read it.
Okay. Well, I'm pretty sure.
Should I?
I'm pretty sure your father's probably must be mentioned in there. Didn't he do Martin? Didn't he work?
Oh, he was
with
the Actors Studio. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Of course.
I think I have pictures of them all.
Right.
In the Berkshires or something.
Right. Yeah. Well, that would have been the group theater potentially too. But
yeah.
He wasn't old enough for that, was he?
No, he wasn't. And he also started much later in his life.
I see.
Because I think he'd been in the army, and you know, it was a period of time that being an actor probably wasn't in, from his family. You know, they.
Oh.
Were also immigrants, and so I think it took him a while, you know. I mean, I say later, I'm talking about 35 or 40, as would be normal for a character actor, actually.
Right. Well, that's the...
But he was studying with them.
I see.
Yeah. He would have been 100 yesterday. It was his birthday. I'm not saying that
yesterday?
He would have been 100.
Oh, no, I understand.
But it was his... I was just
birthday.
Reminded. Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That's very strange.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When did he pass away?
In 19... I think it was 94.
Okay.
Sorry if I might be off a year, but yeah.
Wow. Okay. So you grew up, obviously, okay, so this was in your DNA. Seemed almost inevitable, maybe, that you would have been.
Well, it's funny. It's sort of, I think the part that maybe, but I think with both those type of actors, they were very adamant about studying. My mother had been a child actress in the, you know, Broadway. They'd grown up in
stage.
New York. So she was not like into this idea of me starting until I was either studied, excuse me.
Oh, she had a bad experience.
She just was like, you know, be a child. And
right.
I'm grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
But so I studied. And then I guess I studied at the Strasberg Institute and then with Peggy Fury. And and then at 18, though, I was like, you know, once I could, I was an adult.
Right.
But I was still pretty young.
Yeah. Your parents, did that fast track you a little bit, getting into good gigs?
I don't know.
I
still question. I think like I was able to probably get an agent probably easier than maybe other people who have had to come to New York and do that. I think there's that. But getting the jobs, I don't know.
Mm. Is it true one of your earliest jobs was on the TV show Happy Days?
No.
Don't try
so you
to
did do some due diligence.
I did a little just bit.
Just the kind
but
I love.
So,
and not only that, I'm just going to just rock your world right now. It was
yeah,
the Jump the Shark episode. So I just want you to
it
realize.
Was the, that ex- right, that episode created a...
just a huge, the end of the show.
So. It was a late episode then when they started to, which now it created this phrase that we were all familiar with, jumping the shark. So it was literally the one where he jumped on the motorcycle. You were in that, I have to rewatch.
Honestly, you don't have to rewatch it. I was well. Richie Cunningham's girlfriend on the beach.
Oh, I see.
So I say that I was completely green, like, you know,
and you
no
can
idea.
Parlay that into a series of roles in Ron Howard films. I'm not sure I understand.
It didn't really work out that way, though.
I understand.
I've never seen him since. But
no.
Yeah, so that was like.
Well, you're both still.
You know, we're young, still
young
functioning.
And, yeah, functioning professionals.
That was a big job, though, for me. That was like the 3-part Happy Days. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it was big, but that was the end of
Right. That was obviously after Jaws. Not that you were in Jaws. I mean, that
no,
it wasn't jumping the shark. Literally, they jumped. He had to jump over a shark on the motorcycle. Isn't that what it was?
No, he was.
What was this?
Oh,
what
I'm
was
so
it?
Sorry. I have to tell
so
you
years.
This. He was water skiing.
Right. Oh, he was water skiing over the sharks. But there were sharks involved.
There was a shark.
It was literally
was it
jumping
Jaws?
Over.
Yeah, I don't know if Jaws had come out. It's probably
no. It did. It came
yeah,
out
so
75,
you're right.
76, and then because. That's
oh,
it was
yes.
such a everybody was doing shark stuff then. It was like
you're right because I was not
happy
it was,
days.
Yeah, I would have been way too young to be in that episode had it been before Jaws.
So that was 18. Okay, very good.
Yeah, you can replay that.
let's go to the videotape. Well, that's incredible. That's a that you're part of a phenomenon.
Wow.
You're a part of history.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I was also in the pilot of Taxi.
Now you blew my mind.
Now I can blow your mind.
Here you go, ready?
Here we go.
This character was not in the pilot, but you know something, Talia?
Yes.
That's not even that good.
That's
I
good.
Can actually do dead on at Reverend Jim.
Yes, but, he was in the...
Maybe I think they introduced him a little bit, like after a while.
Might be right.
He was not in the...
You know who it was? Andy Kaufman.
Of course. Yeah. No, he was there from the start.
Yeah.
And we had the same jazz guitar teacher,
Andy Kaufman.
Well, he was a little older than me, probably a lot more. And I would go, my dad would drive me to Great Neck every other Saturday for guitar lessons with this guy who's will ever be a hero of mine. His name was Joe Monk. And he had this little studio. He was a chain smoker, but he could play the guitar, jazz guitar, like mofo, as it. Anyway, so I learned how to play jazz guitar, you know, because I went to summer camp and I learned how to play guitar.
Right.
But that was like folk songs and then like pop songs. And then my dad would drive me to these lessons and I fell in love playing jazz guitar because this guy, for years I went, and he told me that, you know, Andy Kaufman, who grew up in Great Neck, was one of his students. And that I said, really? Because, you know, there was one Taxi was just probably ending. And he said, yeah, his mom would bring him in and she would sit there and he would not blink, but he would play and he knew how to play guitar.
Wow.
So Joe taught him how to play. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was my connection to...
Andy Kaufman.
To Andy Kaufman by a degree. So you were on the pilot.
I was on the pilot, yeah.
What was your role there?
I played Judd Hirsch's daughter.
Oh.
Yeah, and then I came back some point.
He was the taxi driver who was actually just a taxi driver. That was his thing.
He was a professional taxi driver.
Everybody else was
an actor.
Or, right... Yeah.
Or a
boxer or
Tony, yes, yeah. Right.
Or somebody who memorized remembers every single moment in their lives. Like Erwin Henner, apparently.
You know, people are gonna listen to this and not know what we're talking about.
They will. Well, that's the horror. It's like homework for my listeners.
Totally.
So it's interesting because I was also thinking, I didn't put it together, but I was thinking Happy Days, I immediately go to the Richie's sister, who the actor died, sadly, his sister, the woman who played it, Erin Moran,
yeah,
she died. Yeah. And then I was thinking Taxi, it's sad that Jeff Conaway, he was such a great guy.
He was great.
He was such a talented guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but you were only in that one episode?
No, I think I came back later, 2 years later or something.
Oh, they brought you back. They didn't have to do that.
That's
really diligent of, what's his name? The world
Jim
class.
Brooks.
Jim Brooks.
Yeah.
Did you know him?
A little bit? Well, only from
what
that. And then Jim Burrows was the director. Oh. And I'd done some other things with Jim Burrows.
What pedigree that show has.
Yeah,
right?
I know. So I think I came back and got married on it. Like they had concocted a wedding for Louise Lasser, you know, and Judd, I guess, something.
Oh, Louise Lasser.
Now you're,
Oh my gosh, you're bringing
really
back.
Kind of.
Did you meet her? I guess you must have, right? What a great actor she is, right? And then, I'm getting caught up with all this stuff, but it's nostalgic too. What was I thinking about? Oh, Carol Kane. She would play Vlatka's girlfriend and then wife, and I love her too.
I love her.
You know, I was at a party last night, and you're going to not believe who I met. It was unbelievable. And I'm not a name dropper, typically, although we've been talking about a lot of names, but I haven't met all those people. But I there was a new book about Mike Nichols, who I loved. And everybody loves, you know, his work. He's a genius, like Elia Kazan. There's Mike Nichols and, you know, Elaine May, who's now making a new film, it turns out. Did you hear about that?
You know, what
She's
is
making
it?
A new film.
Yeah.
It's a comedy, of course, and it's like, what is it called, like Harebrained or something like that. It has some wacky new title. It was just announced that she's actually making a new film.
I think I did hear that because my mother knows her. And
Right, of course.
And then I knew Jeannie Berlin.
Oh, my gosh.
So we were all, Jeannie was very much in my life.
Really?
Yeah, for many years.
Oh, what a brilliant people.
Yeah.
My God, the projects and the... Heartbreak, everything. So anyway, But there's a new book, and it's like an oral testimonial type of book. So it's compiled in a way and edited. It's just all these different hundreds of people that, or 150 people that knew Mike, worked with him, or were related to him or something, and they all talk, and they just take all these different people and they put it in a kind of chronological way, so that it's, in a way, it's a biography too, you know? And it's a good, and I have the two co-author editors on my podcast, one of whom is the son. I didn't only realize this, like, I also just really found out you're the daughter of these two great actors, but this is Graydon Carter, you know, the former editor of
Vanity Fair
now has this, something new called Airmail. But his son is one of the two authors, and I had them both on, and they loved being on the podcast, you know? And I know you're thinking, how could that be? So, anyways, so does
not
he shut up?
Not what I was thinking.
I try to get a word in.
It's so easy.
So I was invited by the publicist, who's a friend, for this publisher to come to this party, and I went to the wrong place first, and I said, oh, I'm just going to go home. So I got on the subway, and I'm like, well, I'm already on the subway. I'll just go back up and I'll go to the right place. And so as an afterthought, I went to the party. I wasn't going to go. And I walk in, and the first thing that happens is I'm walking into the door and I run into Barry Diller. So I thought, oh, this is probably a good party that I came to, you know? And so I walk in and I realize, oh, they're here to celebrate Mike Nichols. So I'm looking at Candace Bergen.
Oh, my God.
And then Christine Baranski and all these, you know, luminaries. And I was like, needless to say, I ended up sitting with a few people that I knew and spending the evening talking to Joan Collins, you know, of all the people in the world.
Hey,
I would never thought I would be hanging out.
Did you get her on the podcast?
Her young escort relationship, whatever, whoever this guy was, he took my email for, he wants to send a short that she did in England. Apparently it's unrecognizable Joan Collins. She plays a very different type of role in this. She likes independent film now, and she's, so, you know.
But she's in London.
And she's hungry. She wants to work.
Well, I think that would be a really good.
Wouldn't she be great?
Yes, and I
the
also
stories.
Think it would be nice, you know, someone to sit next to at a party. I think.
Oh my God,
she
looked great, by the way. I should say she really looked good. The only other person I'll mention is that I haven't played it yet. Is I spent 2 hours with Lee Grant.
Oh, another friend of my mom's.
No doubt.
Makes sense.
That you knew her too.
Yeah,
you must have
love
grown
her.
Up with all these people. No, you had to become an actor.
Well, I guess so.
All these people must have. You must have just been listening to them and or getting to know them, and they must have had a profound
I mean,
impact.
Lee, I knew her daughter, Dinah Manoff.
Of course.
And Lee was in New York, but she knew my father, and I didn't know her till more recent years,
yes.
A little better.
Did Dinah and your mom work together on
I Oughta Be in Pictures?
Yes. Son of a bitch.
Wow, good
on you. In the
movie
version.
No, movie
in the
Dinah.
I saw the Broadway show.
That was my mom, and then the movie was Anne Margaret.
Oh.
Because they like to do that.
I like her, but
yeah,
I think your mom was better. I saw her on Broadway, your mother, in that role.
What actor did you see?
Ron
Liebman.
Liebman.
Yeah, who's great.
That was the original cast, right?
And Dinah originally Manoff. Was Tony Curtis in L.A.
Are you serious? Oh,
yeah.
In L.A. I'm talking about
and
Broadway.
And then they moved to Broadway.
I see.
Yeah. And,
right. And your mom had an ongoing relationship with Neil Simon,
she
right?
She did, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then I did a Neil Simon play with my mother of his called Jake's Women.
I know that. Was Alan Alda involved?
He was. He was Jake.
So,
so that was a kind of a amazingly unusual experience because we did that play for almost a year.
Wow.
Yeah. It's cool.
Was that Neil Simon trying to be Fellini? It sounds like it. I don't know. I don't remember the storyline.
I think you're right. Topper, what is it with the girls that come back as ghosts? And,
oh,
you know,
is that what it was?
A little bit.
Oh, I see.
Like a memory of his wife is sort of inserting herself
all these people,
into
these,
his present
women,
life. Yes.
Eight women. Eight people. What was it called?
Might have been
seven women
in this one. But
right, no, I know. But
you're talking
what
about eight and a half. Or,
eight and a half.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it became nine on Broadway. That's right. Yeah. The musical version. In a way, you know, I'm embarrassed that I should have known more. On the other hand, because I was so focused on this film and then your another upcoming film that you're going to be in called The Climb.
Yeah.
Which does have distribution, and which I'm supposed to see shortly.
Yeah.
And then I know also Divorce and this HBO show.
Yeah.
And are you back on?
That was it.
Okay.
We finished three. We did three seasons.
Three seasons. Okay.
But half.
Have they shown the third season?
Yeah, it's on. Okay. But there's only six of them.
Okay. Well, I like that approach anyway. I think I don't know if they had a choice in that. Obviously, most people like to do lots and lots of seasons.
Yeah.
But I prefer short.
Yeah.
Shorter.
I mean, I think short's good. I think this got whittled a little bit, but it's still, I thought, was wonderful, and I enjoyed doing it immensely.
I'm sure.
So, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I know there was a dust up after season one, right?
Yeah, I think it changed.
Bouncing around a lot.
No, that's okay. I'm with you. It changed.
Producers
or showrunners and right.
Okay.
Sorry, I keep losing my voice.
It's all fixed.
But so there kept being like new. So it would shift it a bit, you know.
Right.
And there was a lot of time in between, but I think if you watch it all together, maybe it's definitely cohesive.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to catch up with it a little bit. I saw the first season for sure.
I thought it was wonderful.
Yeah. But. And I guess what I was trying to say was that on another hand, I feel this is very cool to, it's also new information and I'm able to respond in real time to it.
Yeah.
But I should have at least known.
No, I think that's all right.
Sorry, Joyce Van Patten. My goodness.
Oh.
I grew up with these people. They were.
Well, it's nice to that you know. Sometimes it draws a blank on, you know.
Right. Oh, I see what you mean. Well,
yeah, like
shame on
like
them.
Who?
Anybody should be doing a podcast. Well, this is a specific kind of podcast.
Exactly.
And, you know, one of the beautiful things about doing it, other than meeting so many wonderful people like yourself, and in some cases like Paul in the other room, as you actually become friends. And, you know, when Lee Grant was on, for instance, we were really connected. I mean, she's like that kind of person, as you know. She's likes that, you know? But she was so warm. And then I did go on I'll post it, and I'm going to send you the link when I do. And it's going to be shortly, because they're doing this huge retrospective at Film Forum of her work.
Yes, I think I'm going to that.
Okay.
With my mother.
Okay, well.
So will I see you there?
I will make a point of coming then. Yeah, I would love to.
Tell me what day. I don't know. I have to call my mother right now.
You don't want to know. I mean, they're spreading it out over the entire winter. So it's not like it's in a two-week retrospective. It's literally going from November or December, late November to February of next year.
I think that my mom was talking about the documentaries solely.
Yes.
I think that's the part we might be seeing.
Do you know she is the oldest living, Lee Grant, is the oldest living female documentary filmmaker on the planet?
I didn't know that, and I feel very ashamed that I haven't seen any of them. So
you may
I
have,
look
though.
Forward, I may have.
Because they were on TV, and they were, you know, they got a lot of good, they got broadcasted, and they were very, very groundbreaking. I mean, most people don't know her for that work, and they should.
And, well, I'm going to go to Film Forum and see them in a theater, so.
Yeah, and they're so pertinent. I mean, what about gender and, sexuality and gender? Way before anybody was making any films like that. Of course, spousal abuse.
Right, that's what.
Doing time, like women in prison,
That's
not Roger Corman film. I'm talking about actually women in prison.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Candy Stripe Nurses in prison.
In prison. In prison.
Yeah. So doing the podcast has been a great gift in a way because, you know, you meet wonderful people and have those connections. And also, you know, you just learn so much. You know, I started bringing on a lot of writers who have books on film or somehow related. And then, you know, you get caught up in it, and you just learn more and more, and you put all these pieces together. You sort of become a bit of a film historian, and it's like this whole new world that I'm
enjoying. Hear you two talking in the other room, and you know, I'm actually in the business, and I was like, they know many, many things. You know, you're, you know,
well
watched many, yeah.
Oh, but we were talking about document. Yes, I know what you mean. But we were talking about documentaries, and, and maybe because you're not a documentary filmmaker, and no one's done the Talia Balsam documentary yet.
Little did you know.
But you probably you have some amazing, you know, I'm sure so many stories and relation and connections and people you've got. But it was your world. My son has the similar thing. Mm-hmm. I would take him to... because I bring on musicians too, even though I told you it was like not, it was off brand in a way that it doesn't make sense for the podcast, but I like to talk to different types of people. So, and I would be taking him in the, like a Joe's Pub downstairs and through the kitchen to the green room down in the basement to talk to somebody. And his mom is an actor, so she's always into Broadway. And she's about backstage kid, and he grows up and he's, I'm always going into the green rooms and I'm always going backstage and this, but he's used to it. He grew up doing this. It's not unusual that, you know, that's his life is going behind, you know, is living in that world. And I wouldn't know what that's like, but.
How old is he?
He's 15.
I was going to say I used to go with my mother on the road to, this would be like my summer camp. Do you remember the Kenley circuit?
No.
What's that? It would be summer stock, and it would be like you'd play Dayton, Flint, Warren, Akron, you know.
All of those exotic spots
really
that we only hear about in
summer. And I would just hang Flint,
Michigan.
I was a kid, and I just would hang out in the dressing rooms, and I was enamored of just, it was just so much fun being like, you know, to me, we're in Akron, like, you know, and we'd spend the days together, and then I'd sit in the theater at night.
And you had a great relationship with your mom.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a cool thing to do. It definitely was not like, you know, I think about all our kids now are like going to camp and whatever it is, but I like that. I like, and Harry, and my son has that too. I mean, you know, my son Harry.
How old is he?
He's 20.
Oh, right, you mentioned that.
Yeah. And just sort of, it demystifies things a little bit, which I think is helpful. When you asked what was helpful about parents and all that in this business, I think demystifying things was to my advantage.
Demystifying the...
kind of like, it's not about the glamour of something or the this or the that. It was really, at least with those two actors, this is what the work is. And
They were both journey people.
Exactly.
I mean, they both were steeped in the theater, and I think there is a big difference. I mean, maybe I'm mistaken, but, you know, they had did a lot of theater and were artists.
Yeah, so I think it takes a bit of the edge off of the sort of idea of something, which I also think is a great thing. I think it's why people went to Los Angeles and why people come to New York if they can afford to live here anymore. And so I think that is a great thing. But for me, it kind of lifted the veil a little bit. So I felt that that was an advantage.
We only touched on Mad Men a little bit, but how did you work out that you and John Slattery, your husband, how did it work out? John Flattery. How did it work out that you were both cast as, like, did one of you get cast and they thought, we're looking to see who could do the other, play your spouse, and they were like, oh, let's just hire the actual spouse because they're fantastic.
I'm trying to remember this because Matt did cast John, and then I remember sitting down with him and John, and like just a casual meal.
John Slattery.
I don't know if John Hamm was there, John, whatever John.
Okay.
But Matt was there, and then he's like, and I think this was when they were shooting the pilot, Weiner.
Yeah.
And he's like, I think there's something I have in mind for you. And I, of course, dismissed that because I'm like, whatever, fine.
Right, you've heard that a million times.
Good on you.
Right.
So, but it turned out after, which I didn't realize, is for years and years I had auditioned for Sopranos and never gotten a part on it. But I just would go
because
David, you know, because I was a fan of the show.
Of course.
I just went. I went and did it. But Matt was in the room and he just kind of clocked me. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was
when you auditioned for something.
Yeah,
okay.
Like that. I think this is my way of saying it's good to show up for things, even though you may not
Right. Get it's that. Always good to audition or interview, because if you do it enough, people will, you know, if you bring something to the table, you might get something.
Yeah. And I think Matt was there, and he had this thing. And of course, it just worked out in a really wonderful way. And at the time, my son was younger, and John was in L.A., so it was good for me to be able to just not be there the whole time, and because he was in school in New York. And I loved the show, and I loved that part. I loved Mona.
Yeah. Roger's she's wife. Right. Yeah. I mean, she, what a wonderful character.
Yeah. So I felt, so I think that's how it happened, and then I think it just made sense, you know. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel compelled to keep, I mean, there's a lot of roles now because there's so much serial.
I know, but
there's so much, or does it still feel there is still a deficit of work for women your age? Or
I feel like there's a deficit. I know there's talk about a lot of it, but I think it's tumbling.
Okay.
You know, I think like a lot of film actresses are doing television, and then that kind of fills that slot.
I see.
You know, and those television has great parts for actresses.
Right.
So I can see why that happens,
but it
definitely, look, I believe there's plenty out there, so.
Right. I mean, between, let's say, all of the this television and of course, which is also includes the streaming platforms now, serial work, film, both studio and independent, and theater, or is it still hard to, I mean, is it still as hard to find the work you're seeking, the good, solid, Lila, like Mona, that kind of role?
Yeah. I mean, they don't tumble one into the next. There's always seems to be a bit of a sort of a dead period.
Yeah.
And a lot of that, and also as you age, as one ages as a woman, you know, there's a lot of things where like, you know, I don't actually want to go there yet. Mm-hmm. I'm not ready to, whatever the television version of a woman that age or whatever. I still feel like I'm interested in doing, like you said, a South Mountain that had no money behind it. And so I like to move around a lot, but I wouldn't say like, oh, there's five things at my house right now waiting for me to read. You know, it's not like that. But I, in a way, it's I'd like to think of it positively, like that the good things come along, and sometimes that's slower.
Right. It's, I guess, there's very few people, there's a very small population of actors who just don't have to worry about that type of issue. The overwhelming majority, and that's not including all the people that can't find work, period.
Exactly.
Or scrambling and can't make ends meet because they're so dedicated, but at the same time, they can't get the auditions even or something. But they're talking about working actors.
Working actors who can't get, when you talk about like doing off-Broadway, it's not a living wage.
Right. No, you just, it's incredibly, or independent film is not a,
not
working,
a living wage. Not,
I mean, you're talking about, first of all, 3 weeks of a project.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's SAG indie, ultra indie, you're talking about a few hundred a day at best. Maybe they try to get some more for you or something. I don't know.
No, I mean, but I'm lucky that I'm like, okay, I'm not relying on this right now because I had other things going on.
Right,
but,
that hold you, like the HBO show or Mad Men that can.
Yeah, they hold you over, and then you can do those things. But if you are solely just trying to,
and then you have to show up, and you
have
kinda,
to show.
You need to
up.
Help promote the film and show up at the Q&As and go to festivals. And I mean, I know you're not paying for those things out of your own pocket many times, or maybe sometimes you are.
I am.
Because some festivals will, or the production team, the team will bring you, or if you have distribution, maybe they'll help, or in some cases the festivals will.
I'm learning a lot about that. I never did this festival thing before, and so I'm learning that because we don't have a distributor, or maybe because we don't have enough money in the sort of publicity side of what I'm willing to show up for and happy to pay for, but it is not. Some festivals, the Nantucket, like, will put you up or...
Yeah.
But
that's
nice. You know, I missed my plane on that one. And then
they have a ferry. Did you take that?
I would have if it wasn't 12 hours.
It leaves New York City. I know. It's half
to be,
the weekend.
Like,
I don't understand. I know. I was considering it. And I'm like, and then I was like,
Well, the thing was showing at 4, and my plane was at, you know, noon, and
I see.
It was raining. But so some do. Some, you know, I think for Hillary, they really do.
Right.
But I also have, I'm learning a lot.
Yeah.
About that.
It's kind of fun, right?
I went to Mill Valley, and then I went and saw my friends in Bolinas, and I drove down. So I try to mix it.
Sure. Makes sense. That's what I do, too.
Yeah, you go visit.
When I go to a festival, I try to, well, not everyone, but some of them, I really do try to make it all so into a story. And what will invariably happen is sometimes I'm just like, I'm going to just hang out with my friends. I feel like, and I don't do a lot at the festival as much. But I can still work it out with, you know, links, and I managed to make it work. But, like, you know, I went to Woodstock because I have friends in Saugerties. And
we missed each other.
That's right. We tried to hook up there. That's right.
There was there.
That's right. Right, we were texting back and forth that weekend. But I didn't worry about it because you're a New Yorker. So
yeah.
It was, but,
no, I was having a... I was visiting somebody there, too.
It's interesting that... But that weekend, I didn't go to films, but I lined up so many wonderful interviews for the podcast.
Oh, that's good.
So it was really nice, yeah.
I didn't see anything.
Another great one I saw there was, I forget the name, it's the name of the town, and it's Karen Allen was in it.
Oh, I love her.
She was terrific. Also, you know, taking a role like this is wonderful. It's so meaty. She's just so good in this film. Very moving. Moving.
Are you?
Yeah.
I'm asking you. And
No, it's okay. She runs the post office, and then she finds out that they're closing the post office, and they're, you know, basically she has to take either some other part-time job or retire. They offer a choice, and it's just crushing because this is and it's also like the center of this tiny town. Mm-hmm. It's like their social spot where all the you know, these people come and they have their coffee and they talk and they gossip and they do and they hang out there, and then, you know, they're taking it away.
So
it affects the community as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I'm blanking on the name of
Sam. Was it up there in the Catskills?
Where did it take
town,
place? No.
Yeah.
No, I think it was, son of a gun. You know, I was going to talk about it, so I didn't really
put some thought
into it.
That's all right, we can go back to it in 10 minutes. So, like, how long it takes me to remember anything.
I was glad for the opportunity to be introduced. There was another one, which I thought was like how I described South Mountain, of where, you know, and they don't have to all be, like I was saying, that one is a little bit more, I guess, melancholy. I think South Mountain has a lot of humor in it.
Agreed.
And, you know, it has an edge to it, obviously, to say the least.
Definitely. I think it's funny, though, to see it collectively. Humor definitely comes out. If you were sitting there watching it by yourself, I wonder how that experience, it's very different.
Yeah, like when people are watching it at home on their computer.
Yeah, they probably think.
as opposed to being in a theater.
Very funny.
Yeah, right.
Some of it.
Yeah. No, totally. And you're right, exactly right. I mean, not having that kind of a collective experience. It's going to be a different experience watching South Mountain than it would be than if you were in theater, for sure.
That's sure. The other thing I was learning from the festivals. I was like, how it plays, you know.
Right. And it is for a lot of filmmakers. I'm hoping South Mountain does have a theatrical, even if it's just a few markets. But the, you know, for a lot of filmmakers, doing a lot of festivals is a strategy. First of all, you can, if you get some good ones and some bigger ones, you get the press from that. But more importantly, you can see, just you have a lot of opportunities to have people see it on the screen.
Right.
And they're eager because, you know, you take it to various festivals and communities, festivals in their town, they love that. And they come out for it and they support it in a big way. So I really love those festivals more than I do, let's say, a market festival.
I think Hillary's on the same page with you. She was like, I'd rather this,
get set. Yeah, but even like a festival like the Hamptons, where everybody's, you know, has a lot of money, but they really get into the festival. Mm-hmm. People really take a lot of pride in that they have this great festival that comes to their town, you know, even though they're their driver brings them to the cinema. But
I know, I wish we had gotten there. But Mill Valley was so great in that way, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were just very happy.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Right. And you have some great Q&As and stuff like that.
They had great Q&As.
Yeah.
I thought.
Let's close on one. I just want to also put out, because by the time this comes out, maybe The Climb will be much closer to its release. It's a Sony Classics picture. So this one has great distribution.
Yes.
It's going to play in quite a few places. So I don't know a lot about it because I haven't had a chance to see it yet, but I'm about to.
Okay. You tell me. I haven't seen it.
But you were in it.
I was in it.
Did you have a supporting role in this one?
Yeah, very much so. Okay. I mean, it's right. in sections, but I think see. The trick of that to me, when you go,
you only
why
read
did
your
you
pages,
do that?
Obviously, in the screen script. You, what? You only read your pages in the script. I'm just teasing.
It was such a good script.
Oh, it was.
I think the thing that attracted me to mm-hmm. it, besides such a good script, was that everything was shot in one shot. And so it was really hard. I don't know where the camera ended up. I have no idea because I haven't seen it, but it definitely was. We would rehearse for one day in one room, 30 pages, and then the next day, basically in costume in case they got anything, and we would have to work it out. And then we'd shoot probably 15 to 17 takes of a whole scene with one camera. Like, it was kind of amazing. And I think people like it.
Who's the filmmaker?
Mike Covino and his
mm-hmm. Mike Covino. Okay, yeah.
I think that's his first movie, and then Kyle, who's sorry, Kyle, I'm blanking, but they produced it, and yeah, so it was very again. I think they had a bigger budget, obviously, than South Mountain, but mm-hmm. yeah. So I just came in like for two sections of that.
I see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Happily, it was good.
Well, obviously, it's got a good head start, so.
Yeah, they did very well. The film. It can, I guess.
Oh.
Yeah. Well. They did really well.
Pardon me.
I wasn't asked.
Yes. What?
They didn't
bring you out to Cannes.
No. I don't think I have enough to do in it. Oh. So it's okay.
Right. I know. It's obviously much more costly to do that trip.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So, but Hillary, I know that South Mountain it was in Warsaw.
Oh.
And she's going to Argentina.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I guess it helps to have a job. And she's the dean, I didn't mention this, of the film school.
I know, she have a big job.
Yeah.
She's busy.
Yeah. Anything else worth mentioning that's coming up or that we may as well mention?
Yeah, okay. But, I just did a movie called What is Life Worth with Michael Keaton about...
I don't know him.
Have you heard of him? He's an actor. And, so, I just did that, which is about... the World Trade Center, and the man I'm saying is Ken Feinberg, who wrote the book What Is Life Worth, and had to do with being the mediator between, you know, how the money was sort of
allocated.
Yes.
Okay, so this is obviously not a musical comedy.
Gosh,
it's a dramatic film. Mm-hmm. And what's your role in that?
I play Michael Keaton's wife.
Okay.
In it.
How is working with him?
Great. Love
Seems it. Like he's a great guy.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, they shot, with the budget they had, was mm-hmm. all these things have very different challenges.
Sure.
They were shooting a lot of scenes, and there are heavy scenes, you know, just, I was only in the front of the movie, you know, like on a very, very fast schedule. So it was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
And do you remember who directed that one? I'm sure you do.
Yeah, I do. Sarah Colavango.
Oh, I don't know her.
She did a movie, and I'm going to blank on the name. Mm-hmm. I think it was with Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have to come back.
So our bona fides are,
you know.
Yeah.
So that's...
That's a big deal.
And what else? I just did a little bit on the Saints of Newark, the David Chase movie.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. So we'll see. I haven't seen anything.
Working with David Chase. And is he involved in this prequel series for The Sopranos? So maybe you should get back in the auditioning.
Get back in that room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he can't be on there, maybe Tony's
we'll
a little
see.
Kid now. You could play his mother or
Tony.
Older sister.
Michael Gandolfini is playing.
Oh,
you know,
my God.
Yeah. Young Tony.
Is that right?
Am I allowed to say that?
I don't know.
I don't say
That's all right. Yeah. Don't worry. And I think I can. I'll,
I never
we'll
know what
that
I can
out.
Say. Or,
right,
you know,
right, right.
Like all of a sudden I realize.
I don't
how
know
much.
When is that coming. I don't even.
I have no idea.
All right. I don't know. Let's see. It's,
what time is it? I'm supposed to have dinner in 4 minutes.
I could go on. I really will do a part two at some point because I do. You know, I mean, I barely. I was very having a great time also talking about your growing up as a child in that world. It's intriguing, and all, of course, you know. We're living in this time where a lot of these people are not mm-hmm. going to be around a whole lot longer, those that are still here. So I feel an urgency to... I try to invite people on like that, too, because I do... You know, it's just an incredible experience to talk to people that have been alive and, you know, for so long and who have, you know, who have been there and seen so much. It's
and
know.
Had a whole life and career.
Yeah.
That spans, right. You know, and, yeah. And through all that change and what we were talking about, how, you know, electronics, mm-hmm. since I was 18, of how fast forward that has gone and how I'm always behind.
Oh, right.
I mean, I feel like mm-hmm. also, you know, same with the business, just mm-hmm. like even though you're changing the way you're viewing things and everything, you know, it's just, it must be very, I mean, from where I sit, I'm like, oh, we're in this thing. And I think about my mom and all those people mm-hmm. of that generation and how different and how great it is too.
Sure. But, and the, but still the core of everything is a good story, mm-hmm. is a well-written story. It hasn't changed, telling good stories.
Bingo. That's it.
Yeah. And work in your craft and working on your craft and be prepared, be professional.
Yeah.
You know, show up on time and, really be prepared as a, I mean, you know, I, one thing I mean, I take from my ex-wife mm-hmm. who is now at, I shouldn't, I don't know if I should mention her age, but let's put it this way. She's not ingenue material.
Right.
She's just hitting her stride. And, one thing I've always seen from her was, you know, was always preparing, always taking it seriously. Not, she didn't go out and party and go out to dinner and parties.
Yeah.
She didn't do it, you know, and, you know, she would just work and really be prepared. I read of Not Enough Size with her. She
yeah, didn't remember. Not winging it. And
no.
I mean, and, I think that's where all the work is, actually,
hmm.
is the in-between.
Hmm. Right. Keeping it
it's what you're, fit. What you witnessed. Keeping,
yeah.
And that's what my son sees. And you're like, yeah. you know, exactly. You know, it's like, well, I have to spend these next 5 hours doing this. In or, and, you know, and everything's very last minute now.
Right.
I mean, it's been a while, but yeah, it's work.
Well, thank you for taking some of that time and devoting it to this then. I appreciate it all the more because I know you sound busy and you have a full life. And this is part of it, though, right?
Talking this is about totally part the, of it. Yeah. Enjoyable part of it.
Oh, good.
And thanks for running into me, literally. And it was very fortuitous. And,
it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So terrific. It's cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Left in this 2019, including a conversation with a bunch of friends from a new series called The Holdouts. So we're going to have on my friends Jace Bartok and Kevin Corrigan coming up. And then we also have a conversation with the documentary filmmaker Rob Garver, who made a documentary called What She Said, The Art of Pauline Kael. It's a fantastic documentary. It's coming out in at the end of the month with at the Film Forum here. I think it's already playing in L.A. And then we're going to have on the filmmaker and one of the main actors from a new movie called Clemency. Chinoye Chukwu and Aldous Hodge will be on the podcast. And that's almost all the time we'll have. That's about it for the year. Then we're going into 2020, which will be our ninth year of doing this podcast, incredibly enough. So I will take leave right now and say thank you. Please support the podcast. Please tell your friends all about FilmWax Radio. Please go on to all of your, whatever app you're listening to this on, go in and write a review and give it, there's a star rating option. Please do that. Please support FilmWax Radio. It means just about everything. And if you would, go on to Facebook and you can find us on Facebook at /FilmWax Radio or on Instagram /FilmWax Radio, Instagram/FilmWax Radio, YouTube/FilmWax Radio. All right. Thank you very much. This is your host, Adam Shartoff. The name of the show is FilmWax Radio. Take care of yourselves and the ones you love. Until next time. Broken lines, broken strings, broken threads, broken springs.